This week on HelpWithMySocialSecurity.com, Social Security strategies disappear. Hi, I'm Chris Stein, a certified financial planner and a finance instructor at Colorado State University. And welcome to this week's post on HelpWithMySocialSecurity.com. So this has been a very exciting week, and not on a good way here in the Social Security strategies arena. And we thought we'd update you on what has happened just this past week. I think it's very appropriate that Halloween happened this past weekend because there are some very spooky changes to Social Security claiming strategies that are all part of the budget bill passed by the Congress and Senate last week. And then Monday, just a couple of days ago, on November 2nd, was signed into law by the president. And contained in this, and this wasn't made apparent to everyone until last week, we started to hear about things on about Tuesday or Wednesday of last week, and we watched as this kind of moved through the House and then to the Senate, hoping that there would be some knight in shining armor, I guess, come to the rescue here, but didn't happen. And there's some significant changes to Social Security rules that will affect how people are able to claim compared to how they have been able to claim their Social Security over the past 15 years or so. So there are still some fine details to be worked out, that rules will be adapted and adjusted by Social Security itself based on this law. So there's a few fine details we don't know, but we do know some of the major changes. First of all, for those of you turning 62 after 2015, so they grandfather in people that are 62 already or will turn 62 before the end of this year in 2015, you will lose the ability, if you turn 62 after this year, you'll lose the ability to file what's called a restricted application. Now, this was the ability for you to go in after your full retirement age. So prior to your full retirement age, you weren't able to deploy this strategy. But once you reached your full retirement age, for most people that being 66 or somewhere between 66 and 67, depending on the year you were born, once you reached that magical age, you were allowed to go into Social Security and tell them which of your benefits for which you were entitled that you wanted to claim. You were able to restrict it, not just take the one they wanted to give you, which by default is the highest one that would pay you the most at that moment. Now you might think, why wouldn't I want the most? Well, the reason is you might want to delay one of your entitlements, one of your specific benefits that you're entitled to, and only claim a smaller benefit in the meantime, so that eventually you could get the highest possible benefit. It's kind of a get paid while you wait to claim kind of a strategy. And this was made, this was allowed due to a law that was passed in 2000, which made some other changes to Social Security. It kind of unlocked this rule to give people the flexibility to choose how they claim their Social Security and to maybe go back to work after their full retirement age if they chose to and still have some Social Security flexibility. But the typical method here, the strategy that has been deployed up until now, would be to go in and file for your spousal benefit alone. This is mostly for married couples, of course, or people who were divorced that have a spousal benefit based on their divorced spouse's record. It's unclear how divorced spouses are affected by this, but in the more traditional spousal arrangement where you're currently married, you could restrict your application to only your spousal benefit, allowing your own earned benefit to continue to grow in the background until age 70, where it maxes out, and then you would switch from your spousal benefit to your own benefit. It's now impossible to do that unless you reach the age of 62 prior to December 31st of 2015. Once, for anybody younger than that, you will not be able to do this strategy anymore. When you go in to file for your benefit, they are going to be required to pay you whatever your maximum is that day without regard for what might be best for you in the long term. Secondly, spousal and child benefits will now shut off if the worker whose earnings have created this benefit suspends their own benefit. What I mean by this is, let's first say that you're able to claim, let me say that again, you're able to suspend your benefits at any time once you reach your full retirement age. It's essentially a way, again, for flexibility, allows you to pause your Social Security, tell them not to send you the payments because maybe you don't need it right then. You'd rather have a larger benefit in the future and give up some current benefits, or maybe you're going back to work and you don't need it right now. There's a variety of reasons, but you're allowed to suspend your benefits. Well, in the past, if you suspend your benefits and you had a spouse that was claiming a spousal benefit, they would continue to receive their benefit. Okay, just because you wanted to suspend didn't mean that your spouse necessarily wanted to suspend their benefit that had started. Well, with this new change, if the worker who has generated the Social Security benefit suspends their benefit, all spousal and child benefits also stop. So it's kind of a big switch that shuts it off now. It turns everybody off, doesn't allow anyone to continue. So this, again, takes away some flexibility and some ways where one spouse could maybe not work and collect their benefit while the other spouse chooses to go back to work and that sort of thing. So it's just another way that choices you had prior to this bill passing have now gone away. Now, this is also grandfathered in, but very, very short period of time. If you are not receiving spousal or child benefits prior to about May 2nd of 2016, this new rule will apply to you. If you're already receiving benefits and the worker is suspended or suspends in the future, they'll allow that to continue. But any new claims that come in for spousal or child benefits after May 2nd of 2016, which is 6 months after the date of this bill passing or being signed into law, which again happened Monday, November 2nd, you will not be able to deploy that strategy if you want to think of it as a strategy. It's not so much a strategy as it is a ability to do something. Now, where this was really used in a certain strategy in the past, over the past 15 years, would be for a spouse to file at their full retirement age in order to unlock the door for their spouse to claim, but then they would suspend their benefit, still allowing their spouse to continue to receive their benefit, but the worker is delaying to 70 to maximize not only their monthly retirement benefit, but what most people think is more important, the survivor benefit for the surviving spouse. So this rule here, we believe, really affects, and I don't know if punishes is the right word, but it certainly reduces the available amount of money for a survivor in a married couple. When one person passes away, the survivor does not get to keep both Social Security benefits. They only get effectively the highest of the two. So this is oftentimes used as a way to maximize one person's benefit while allowing the spouse to collect their benefit. That's no longer an option after May 2nd of 2016. And then the third, maybe less impactful change, because not a lot of people took advantage of this, but in the past, when you suspended your benefits, you could at any time, up until age 70, go into Social Security and kind of call off the suspension and say, forget it, I didn't really want to suspend, or I changed my mind, I'd really like to have that money that you've been holding. And they would just pay you the money in a lump sum, which would be really no different than you having collected it that whole time. They're not paying you extra. They're just paying you the money that they've been holding for you. And you don't get anything bonus by doing that. You just get that money. You don't have any delayed retirement credits because you haven't truly delayed now. You've filed for benefits in the past, and now they're just giving you the money that they've been holding for you this whole time. That's called payment in a lump sum. That is no longer available. If you suspend benefits, your only option is to turn on your benefit again at the higher monthly amount. And it's higher because you receive delayed retirement credits during the time of the suspension. In the past, you had the choice. You could take the delayed retirement credits, or you could take the lump sum instead. You never got both. That would be unfair. But now you have no choice. So once again, here's a third thing where they're restricting people's choice and flexibility on how they receive their Social Security benefits. So these are the three drastic ones. There's a few other things still being worked out. I mentioned divorce spouse benefits. Those are actually kind of up in the air right now. Those weren't named specifically in the law, so we're waiting for some interpretation on that, for some clarification from Social Security on how that's going to work. So stay tuned for future blog posts. I'll finish with one bit of good news. There is a tiny sliver, a little silver lining here in the bill. The large Medicare Part B premium increase that was anticipated coming in 2016 due to no COLA on Social Security. If you want an expansion on this, if you look back at a couple blog posts over the past few weeks or months, we've talked about this looming issue that was coming. They solved that, kind of. Congress basically limited the increase. Instead of it being about a 50% increase, they're limiting to about 15%. But they're doing it through a kind of a creative borrowing technique where the money's going to have to be paid back. It's temporarily being borrowed out, and then in the future, Medicare Part B premium payers are going to have to pay it through slightly higher premiums. So it's kind of a way for the government to finance, once again, the increase that would normally be passed on, and instead pass on a smaller amount over a period of time. So bottom line, the big $50 or so increase in Medicare Part B premiums that was going to hit a few people, about 30% of Medicare recipients in 2016, has now been reduced, and it'll be an increase of about $15, 1-5, instead of over $50. So one bit of good news in this. But the big news this week is that those massive changes to Social Security claiming strategies, we will be updating all of our strategies here on the helpwithmysocialsecurity.com blog over the coming weeks and months, and hopefully coming up with some new strategies that fit within some of these new laws. So thanks again for joining us. We'll be back next week with you on helpwithmysocialsecurity.com.
Are you interested in your own customized Social Security analysis? If so, visit us at helpwithmysocialsecurity.com and click the Contact Jim and Chris button. Jim and Chris offer a $75 Social Security optimization analysis that includes a one-hour consultation to discuss the specifics of your Social Security situation. This very affordable offer is for both singles and couples and will provide you the information you need to make an informed decision about claiming your Social Security benefits.
Securities offered through Cambridge Investment Research Incorporated, a broker-dealer, member FINRA/SIPC. Advisory services offered through Cambridge Investment Research Advisors Incorporated, a registered investment advisor. Jim Solnier, LLC, and Cambridge are not affiliated.